This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO. We're so excited to be back this week, every Friday at 5 p.m., Kingdom Recovery, where we talk about the 12 steps of recovery or 12-step groups, programs, and the Word of God and how they intertwine and are put into action, God's Word into action, using the 12 steps. Right, James?
Yes, I'm James Wrench, and
I'm Luann Linnekin. So happy to be with everybody. So we have a couple announcements, okay? So just everyone, there's such good news. You know, it's new year, new things happening. Pastor Tom will be with us next week for a Kingdom Talk at the King's Table. So that'll be fun and exciting. I do not know what he wants to talk about. So just let it flow, the Holy Spirit.
And King Jesus is his table. Not just so the listeners
at the King's table,
King Pastor Thomas.
No, at the King's table, right. He will be sitting with us at the King's table.
Exactly.
Yes, of course. It's definitely
no
not
letters coming.
No,
in.
He wouldn't even want that to even be. Yeah,
no, I'm just saying.
We need to clear that up. It's at the King's table, King Jesus's table, with Pastor Tom,
yes,
James, myself, and David, our faithful producer. We just thank you very much for your service. Okay, and then, so the other thing I wanted to talk about, James, you've been doing stuff too. You want to share a little bit about what you've been doing? We want to kind of give people, you know, because we come here to the radio, okay. We talk about this, but there's other things that we're doing during the week. So, yeah.
All right, yeah. I met someone, and the Lord has said he's going to open doors, and immediately a church in Vero asked me to come, and I taught for 6 weeks, and then I run into a guy, and the Lord just, my spirit got excited, and he didn't even believe in, he didn't even know the gifts were in operation. He's in a church that didn't believe in that stuff, but I always go by that. I learned from the lady that fasted that 40 yes. days for me that time. Mm-hmm. She taught me a lot. She said, whenever your spirit gets excited, follow that. So I kept calling the guy, and I feel great, like all day in my spirit, but nothing's happening. And then he had started a Bible study, so I went there. Started talking about healing. He's like, can you pray for my grandfather? He called me, can you come tonight and pray for my grandfather? He hurt his back, and he's like 86 years old. Mm-hmm. He's on a walker, and God instantly healed him, bent over, touched the floor, and there was just a few of them there. They went, took me in the other room. It's like six of them in there, and the one kid starts, he's seen his leg grow out, and he starts, God is real, God is real, God. And then he couldn't lift his arm up to shave. From his shoulder, he'd hold his other arm and hold his arm up. The next morning, he lifted his arm up. Then he turned his head the way he couldn't turn it. And he looked in the mirror. He had black spots on his ear where they burned cancer off. And he had brand new skin there.
Amen.
And I also, right after, we didn't know that till the next day, but right after that, I prayed for his son, not this guy's dad, though, another, his uncle, I guess. And he'd been in severe pain for 20 years. Something fell on him and his back was crushed, his foot, and he got totally healed, and his Amen. Leg grew out quite a bit. So the next week, they didn't say nothing. Then the next week, he brought a fireman. Because he's a fireman. I just led this guy to the Lord yesterday, and he's was going for this job, but he's got to be able to run 6 miles in a certain amount of time. He's trained, he hurt his back, and this going on, that's going on. He can't run. He's afraid he's going to lose, not get the job. Pray for him. He's healed, running across the parking lot like 10 times. Praise he kept God. Coming back. I can't believe this. He kept running
amen,
again.
Amen.
And his daughter's there. My knees are messed up. God healed her knees. So the next week, he told everybody. So then quite a few people came in the other room. And then the first guy I prayed for had arthritis in his elbow. He's only 36, I think, right around there. He couldn't do a push-up for 3 years. He instantly healed. He's doing push-ups. And he actually went home, put 205 pounds on the bench, did it 10 times. He's not a big guy. I'm like, that's pretty impressive. Never worked out for 3 years and mm-hmm. put 205 pounds on there. Mm-hmm. That's impressive by itself. And then he said, pray for my eyes. And God healed his eyes. And the guy pulls this Bible out with this real fine print. I'm like, nobody reads them Bibles without glasses. He starts reading it. I'm like, wow. So then someone else says, pray for my eyes. I said, well, now you pray for him. I didn't realize he's the guy that would never pray, mm-hmm. not even over dinner, you know. Mm-hmm. And everybody's looking like because they knew who I was. I didn't know him. And so he prayed, and he actually prayed wrong at first. He asked God, I said, command the blind spirit to go. He asked God to take the blind spirit. But the anointing was so strong, I thought God might just do it anyway. I'm curious to see if God just does it, even though he's not even doing it right. And nothing happens. I'm like, okay, now just repeat after me. I said, you got to keep this simple, guys. Don't go through these. The longer the prayer, the less it happens. I'm like, just repeat after me. I said, just say, blind spirit, go in Jesus' name. I said, Jesus is in you. We have the authority. He's at the right hand. He doesn't do that. He gave us authority Amen. To do that. So he says, blind spirit, go in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Reading that little Bible. And then later, I don't know if it's that day, because there's been like 8 people's eyes healed. People are sending other people for mm-hmm. eyes now, and they're reading without glasses. And I'm like, well, shoot, I can't even read my big print Bible. I got prayer, and I was reading the little Bible. And totally deaf ear since 5 years old. And I've mainly making them pray. They told me to pray for the deaf ear, and the Lord said no. And I'm like, and I'm leading through forgiveness. I'm just praying, like, because I didn't know what it was. And I don't want to tell them I won't pray for them, but I don't want to disobey, because it was loud and clear, no. And then it's like, he said, I want somebody else to pray. They're thinking, like, the eyes is actually harder than ears usually in my walk, but because they haven't seen that. So I got the 17-year-old kid, lay his hand on the ear, command the deaf spirit to go. Guy's totally hearing. Mm-hmm. He was totally deaf from 5 years old. He's like about 45 years old. And neuropathy, and a lady had floaters in her eyes. Those were healed, and she got healed of arthritis in the hips. 3 people had this twitching thing and pain in the head. They were all related cousins and sister. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's generational. Mm-hmm. Totally healed. So they're on fire. And where the guy works, I don't know if I should say, but he prayed for one of the head bosses, and
things are moving.
He got healed, and then Amen. They started praying for everybody in that department, and now 3 big bosses have been healed, and God is just moving.
He is moving.
It's just exciting.
He always is moving. We're just now coming to
He wants to move, but we're stuck.
We have more people understanding the kingdom walk, the kingdom talk, you know, more people understanding the purpose why we're here is to bring an experience of who God is in other people's lives, you know,
Amen.
Just the way Jesus did. And doing it as he did it. He's our example. He didn't do long prayers. He just said, go, be healed. Sin no more.
That's what I told him. Because he heard me pray for a few things. And the funny thing is, the first time I did explain spiritual roots, one of the times early on, and I just took high blood pressure as an example. You know, I was like, and they know the bodies, their doctors, and different stuff. And I said, it's like high blood pressure. You know, you're taking. When you take thought for tomorrow, whether it's fear making mm-hmm. your bills or your wife leaving, your kids messing up, or whatever it is, your body releases ACTH in your bloodstream, makes your blood vessels shrink, and now you can't push the blood through it. And they give you a beta blocker, block your sympathetic nervous system. I said, but Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow, New Testament commandment. And I said, when you come out of worrying about tomorrow, which it's a spiritual thing. Like if your spouse does that, don't say, just quit worrying about tomorrow, because it's hard for them, because that's the spirit of fear. But and then the next week, his sister says, man, I told her about, she goes, yeah, my blood pressure is good, but I'm nauseous. And this nurse says, are you taking your medicine? And go, yeah, I had high blood pressure on the medicine, and my blood pressure is good, but I'm still taking it. She said, well, the side effects of taking that when you don't have it is nauseousness. And then the next week, because she quit taking it the next day, now all the nauseous is left, and she's good blood pressure.
So this is, it's really important, because, you know, God says don't take any thought for tomorrow, and, you know, yesterday's gone. We're supposed to be in the moment right now, one day at a time, one step at a time. You know, God didn't give us a full set of directions. He gives us as we walk, because if we do, we probably wouldn't follow through if we knew the whole plan.
Yes.
Ahead of time. So we keep in stay in the moment with God. And if you walk by, in step with the Spirit, you know, it doesn't say go ahead of him, and or go way back so you can see where he's going before and make a decision if you want to go. No, we surrender our hearts and say, wherever you go, God, Lord, I go. You know, it's like the vine, one with him. So that's exciting. And you've been doing a Bible study too during the week, right?
Because I really try to just follow the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, I don't know if, because God told me there was going to be a team. I told you about that, like team effort, because he kept saying doors are going to open. I'm like, well, who's the team? Because I thought of you immediately, because we're kind of a team. And then I'm going in this, I'm like, well, is he part of the team? And I don't want to ask him, and then he's not. And I'm like, Lord. So I wanted to get him like I did you in the beginning, just get him to keep stepping out and learn, and him praying. And so I was holding back from teaching myself. I didn't want to, but I felt I was supposed to. And he said, yeah, too. So
amen.
I just started teaching.
Amen. And talking about that, you know, God's doing so much stuff, especially, you know, on the Treasure Coast, of course. There's a big praying coast, you know, Florida. We pray a lot here. I know that we have a lot of, even Chaplain, you know, at Rock Road, he prays a lot for our state and everything going on in the world and everything.
He's there, too.
Praise God, you see?
He's related to the guy.
Amen.
Nephew or something.
Amen. So we have a lot of mighty men of God and women of God, doing things without anybody knowing. You know, just the movement of God is just happening all around us, and a lot of people don't even know. But now we're seeing the evidence of it, which is really awesome. You know, and talking about that, years ago, about 7 years ago, you introduced me to Jerome Ryan, and he does the Love Center. And he just started a program, which he asked if I would be interested. And I totally am, because you said something that happened to me. My spirit got excited.
Amen.
He sent me a little clip of what they were doing. And I just couldn't, contain myself. Like, I felt like, oh, my God, I have to be part of this. Like, I know that this is where I'm supposed to contribute my gifts and talents. God, you know, all the stuff that he's been doing in my life. For this purpose, you know. So I contacted him and we started talking, and he's doing a program for the working homeless. So he's starting like housing and programs to grow in their spiritual walk with God, and how to, because there are a lot of people who work who can't afford rent. So he's starting this.
And people getting out of jail that
and
are
getting out of,
right. Because I think he mainly wants people that are not actually got substance abuse right now.
And he wants, well, what they're doing is most of these people have work or income but can't afford today's rent. So what he's offering is housing for men and women. It would be more like, it's a shelter, but a little bit more intimate than a shelter, you know. And there's services, there'll be groups being run. He'll be helping people with, I'm going to read some of the programs. Spiritual growth and mentorship, employment opportunities, which he will bring in some services to help people, maybe some other career opportunities and people that can teach and do things like that and help people know more about programs that are offered for even what they're in right now. There's entrepreneurship, development, training for jobs, job readiness, community and fellowship is more probably where I'll be, because I'm all about that. Like, let's have a group. Let's love each other. Talk about the word. And then transformation, holistic life transformation, which is just applying God's word in their life, in every area of the life, in their finances, in their workforce, in their families. And I believe, I wrote some notes, you know, just by talking with him and meeting with him and talking and reading all the literature that he has now on this. And I'm going to share how you can get in touch. If you are someone listening and you are finding it difficult to rent a place, and you're working, and you have an income, and you're interested in knowing more about it, I'll give you all the information. But I did want to say certain things that spoke to my heart. You know, working with the benefits, it's safe and supportive, affordable housing. That's the thing that I got as I was reading some of the literature, spiritual growth and mentoring. Like discipleship, it's a big thing. You know, it's actually the program that it is called. It's called Workforce Discipleship, which is really nice, you know, because it's helping people. And I believe that when people come together and develop those relationships among each other as they sit in these groups, or, you know, break bread together, because he's going to have meals offered for the same fee. You know, it's really beautiful. So there'll be fellowship amongst each other. They can develop relationships where it's like families start to happen. And then they can maybe rent together. And it's about growing up and out of this place, saving money. Maybe even, I know his heart is for everyone to own a house. He says it all the time. Everybody should own a house, which is beautiful, because we all should, because God owns them. All the homes. He owns everything, right? So he wants us to have all that stuff, you know? So I also wrote, develop a deeper connection to faith, to God, to family, to friends, and to the community. I believe that this is like that, you know? It's like when immigrants first came in, like my grandparents and my great-grandparents, most of those families I was sharing with Jerome. Most of those families, the concept was to live together until they can get strong enough of a foundation to be able to move on independently. You know what I mean? And that's almost like what this is. It's like, okay, so we're a family and we're going to grow together and save and then move on individually with our own families, you know, as we grow and develop our own family and relationships. So one of the ways, the email for Workforce Discipleship is info@workforcediscipleship.com. The website is www.workforcediscipleship.com, and the telephone number is 772-207-9625. And you can always call me with any questions. I can get you connected. I can give you, if you didn't get that information now, you're driving, or you didn't have anything to write with, you can call me, you can call the station, WCNO. They can give you my contact. It's 735-7980, and you can contact me, Luann Linnegan, and I can help you get connected to an application, or if you want to support Workforce Discipleship, that would be welcoming also. Because it is something new, and I believe God's going to...
Well, if you want to support WCNO, we'd be welcome to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Kingdom Recovery, whatever. If you feel on your heart, you know, you could always do that. And we do have wonderful people who support us. Mm-hmm. You know, here at WCNO, I know, and even Kingdom Recovery, which they don't, you know, I don't say often enough, but we do. We do get people that call and support, and I thank them. I thank all the listeners that support. Just listening and sharing what you're hearing is a great support, because it's so important that we get God's word out there and help people experience freedom. You know, because they're already free, they just don't know it. If they're born again, I will say, you have to be born again. And if not, then maybe hearing something that we share and how we were able to bring people into the kingdom may help someone else to be able to do that. Because I know family, it's kind of hard to kind of get people in the family because they they feel like you're being
preachy. That's why you pray for labor.
You pray, yeah. And
that they will receive.
And it happens. It really does. I want to share a story about things like that because my kids, and I know we're supposed to be doing the ninth step, but I'm so excited.
No, and I want to share something.
Oh, go ahead.
On the end of, okay.
Go ahead.
Just, well, when we, because we mentioned high blood pressure, but I just wanted to share there's different routes to different diseases. Anyone that's interested in that, because what you find is, well, in my walk, for God told me to pray for someone, he instantly healed him, and I was praying for people for 13 years, and I seen so many broken bones instantly healed, cancers even disappearing in my hands a lot of times, tumors, but I wasn't seeing any diabetes, any diseases healed. And then when I ran into Henry Wright's ministry, he started teaching the causes of diseases, and he's explaining things that were people I couldn't get healed. I mean, I didn't usually fast, but like I fasted 7 days and prayed for one lady and she wasn't healed. I'm like, why isn't she being healed? I never thought a disease as being any different because there's a spiritual root. And like arthritis, I usually just lead them through forgiveness and it leaves. And you can use your authority and drive it out, but then it can come back if they have unforgiveness. But anyway, there's all different, that explains a lot about the body. A More Excellent Way by Henry Wright. It's a book. And so I wasn't trying to pick on just high blood pressure. And also just wanted to share that next Saturday at the Finn Center, Trevor Banks is having a meeting with several pastors. There's a breakfast they serve if you go. It's a men's meeting though, but it's God's given him a vision for 20 years.
Amen.
And he's building like 21 apartments.
Hallelujah.
Big complex and gym and workout thing, a bunch of stuff in it. And I guess he wants to share that. And
awesome.
Pastors have something they want to share. It's supposed to be good. And I think I got to go work on a race car.
Well, amen. You see, this is it.
Really
God's on the move here. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you said that, I thought of him too.
And it's the hearts, you know, it's the heart. He works through the heart of
willing vessels.
Willing vessels. Thank you. And that's what it feels like. To me, I see the shift. I'm witnessing a shift in people. Really, I am. And it's exciting because everybody's on the same Holy Spirit wave.
Yeah, a guy in Georgia called for me to work on a race car, and we got to talk, and he mentioned the Lord. We started talking, and he told me they were praying for a guy that had a tumor on his neck, cancer, and he was in the hospital, and he's walking in the bathroom, and it fell on the floor, and he put it on a napkin and put it on the window sill, and then when the nurse come in, he goes, they might not want to do that operation. He goes, what happened to your neck? He goes, it's on the window sill. So
I just thank God.
It really just seems like greater, because we know revival is coming. It's going to come.
And Jesus said, greater things we will do. Yes.
Yeah.
And this is
and
the time right
than
now.
Because in the 40s and 50s, they were falling off all the time on the floor.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey,
and now there's a more full, there's the, well, it's, you know, another level of glory, it feels like, even in our time, you know, more information, more understanding, more experience. I feel like people are more, I guess, aware of the fullness of God, you know, things than years ago. It's like how God works with us. As we evolve, we get a greater and more understanding, more capacity in our minds and, you know, more resources. So things change, but he doesn't. And that's the beautiful thing. Hallelujah, right? But he knows what we need. Amen. So I want to share about like family and how, you know, my kids knew that I got born again, but we were from another denomination, religious bunch. Both ways. Like, okay, I was the same woman that was doing the sign of the cross, I was also making potions in my kitchen. so I had like both ends going, not thinking that I was doing anything wrong, you know, because I love God, but I did believe that if I mixed this and that, I can force somebody to make a decision or fall in love. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. Or horoscopes. It's the same thing. I'm just sharing this. Okay, so when I got born again, it was strange for my family, you know, like I went full force right into the kingdom. I'm very blessed that I got the right information right away, you know, as far as entering into the kingdom of God. I had a very bad experience the first one, but I had the right people around me. Church blew up in front of me, basically. Mm-hmm. But I had really strong people with me, so I was able to go in the right direction. Because I know a lot of people have many years as a Christian, and they get faint-hearted, or they get discouraged because they're not, you know, or dry. It feels like dry, and they're like, I've been a Christian, I never heard those things, you know, and I went right into all of that. So I'm very blessed there. But I will say this, I became a Christian late in life. So mm-hmm. there was my torment, you know?
Yeah.
So I get born again, and my kids are all now more and more seeking on their own and doing things. So my daughter is experiencing something, you know, it's pretty traumatic. It's pretty, you know, it's heart-wrenching, you know. She has her future mother-in-law had a heart attack, or, you know, and they had her on life support. They have her, and they have to make a decision or to take her off. And so before that, when I found out, my heart right away is, Anna, lead her to Jesus. Like, make sure she knows who Jesus Christ is, that she receives him. And even if I guarantee she'll squeeze your hand. Just, Anna, keep whispering, do you know Jesus? Do you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? She goes, I will, Mom, I will. Which is a miracle in itself that she's all for it too. But so before all that, she says, I've been talking about, she says, out of the blue, her fiance's sister said to her fiance, do you remember when we were little, Mom used to say, if ever you were in a crisis, just call out to Jesus? I said, that's a squeeze of the hand from the mom. You see, it's like teaching people how to see in the spirit. It doesn't have to be directly from her, but it was directly from her because her daughter remembered what her mom. So it gave a validation. She knows Jesus. You know, she knows. Mm-hmm. So now as they're taking everything. Oh, and then the next day, one of the doctors or a technician comes in and says, she's doing good. She's with God right now. Like, Anna's like looking around like, why would she even say that? Because nobody ever talks about it, you know. But my daughter's asking every, are you a believer? Oh, every doctor. But a little bit like me, slow down. But this woman just out of the blue. So that was another squeeze of the hand. See, she's talking with Jesus, you know. So it was really beautiful. The whole experience is beautiful, even as traumatic as it is, you know. And then the other thing is, when they close, when they make a decision to take everything off, I said, Anna, like you were saying, do as Jesus did. Just say, rise up in her ear. Just rise up. And if it's God's will, you know, she'll rise up. But we need to declare it. We need to speak it out there. I was just telling David, I would rather, and you've said this long ago, I would rather shoot and miss the mark than not shoot at all. And that's pretty much what I said. Just say it. Say it. Because God says we can raise the dead in his name.
Yeah, you know? Andrew Womack did it in the morgue.
Amen. That's right.
Some of the dead there, heard someone said 2 hours and someone said 5 hours. But I know he had a long trip over there trying not to believe he's going to be raised from the dead when he got there. And he did.
Amen.
So praise Amen. God.
And I just been praying, you know, God's will and whatever, you know, that the family comes to see his glory and his love, you know. And these are moments when his glory and his love shine above all things, you know. Mm. and I said to her, before you even say that, you cast out any unbelief out of that room. You know, unforgiveness out of the room. And she said, I just keep telling everybody that we're just going to love and forgive as they come in from all over.
Yeah, and casting out unbelief, sometimes I feel when, like, what a block is when I'm praying for someone, and usually unforgiveness is 90% of the time, to be honest. But once in a while, unbelief, and I don't know how to explain it, but it's just like thick. Like you could cut it with a knife if it's thick. And I don't know, I just started doing that like 20 years ago, probably just instead of, I used to give testimonies, try to get the faith up, but then one time I was praying and I'm like, just look at my eyes. I'm like, spirit of doubt, you get out of him.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And he was healed. Mm-hmm. I started doing that because like when I went in that room with these people that didn't believe in that, when the guy's praying for the grandfather, man, it was thick, but I just rebuked it out of the room.
And well,
the whole atmosphere changed.
Jesus had to cast people out of the room, and so did Peter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's what came to my mind when I was telling her that, like those scriptures, and that if that's there, you know, just tell people in a nice way, well, when you're alone with her, say it to her, you know, so that doesn't come against, because
yeah,
the enemy knows,
guess a doubt
knows the word. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so we had a lot to say about everything but the ninth step today.
That's okay. They may have needed that.
I'm totally okay with it. But I do want to, so we'll just briefly maybe touch on the intro of it. So last week we were talking about the eighth step, which is being willing to make amends, make a list of all the people we have harmed, and we get that from our resentment list. I love that. I love that it starts out like we're angry, we have a resentment with everybody, we have to learn how to forgive all those people, and then we get to a place where now we're asking them to forgive us. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
It's just like how love grows, how God grows in us, his love. It's like a full thing that happens, and the maturity comes in when you're at 9, and now you're actually going face-to-face with people, and you're saying, forgive me for, and this person could have really done something, but you're asking for forgiveness to them. I mean, that's how God shows up to people, because they're like, what? You know, so, and it produces, so eight produce from hatred, resentment, prior, we go into brotherly love, forgiveness, you know. Yeah.
I just want to say real quick, because I have made the statement that, like, if you know the Lord well, unforgiveness blocking healing, but I don't know if I ever said this, that you can have all unforgiveness in the world. It doesn't stop when you pray for someone else. It doesn't stop them from getting healed. God will still flow through
you. Yes, amen.
It just will block your healing. So don't ever just pray for others, man. God just does it. You know?
Amen, amen. So just as we move from 8 to 9, the Bible says, I mean, God says, you have heard, it has been said, like the world says. And he says this several times in the Bible. So we need to pay attention that you know it this way, but this is the what I tell you. I love that when he says that. And he says, the world says an eye for an eye, but I, the Lord, says, love your enemies, right? And bless those who curse you. I mean, so beautiful. But we have to be willing, open-hearted, to follow. Not just say, I believe Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, but my Savior, basically, because when you're not following him, you're not making him Lord of your life. He can save you, and you could stop there. But making him Lord is saying, I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to do as you will me to do. And that's the third step, turning my will and my life over to the care of God. It's his care. It's his plan. It's his word is his care. That's how he cares for us, by his word.
And that's when I actually lead someone to the Lord. That's actually like, you know, you do the sinner's prayer. It says if you confess with your mouth, yeah. Romans 10, amen. 9 and 10, believe in your heart that he rose the third day, that they'll be saved. But I always put in there, Lord, I surrender myself to you as
amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Have him confess that. Do you want to surrender to him and make him Lord?
And that is, I know I sound far away, but that's because I'm grabbing something. It says here, on the seventh step prayer, it says, my creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. See, right before you do 8, it says, I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your will, your abiding. Isn't it beautiful how like, okay, so 7 now prepares me to like, okay, I got to start thinking about what I've done to people, you know, and even in the midst of their wrong. If I'm offended, then that makes me wrong by their wrong.
Well, you don't know what they did to me.
Yeah, exactly. That's, yeah. That's yeah. Killing. When they say they're sorry, then I'll say I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, they say, well, you don't know what they did for me. Say,
oh, yeah.
Well, you don't know what he did for you.
Amen, amen, amen. So Leviticus 19:18 says, do not seek revenge or bear grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So this is important because who is I am in you? Who do you say I am? I love when he says that because it's I am love. That means I am me if he is in me. If I'm always angry, then the wrong I am is inside, you know, inside the mind, I should say, you know, and I'm not listening and following the right I am God. So behave like the faith-believing Christian that we are, that we claim to be. You know, I'm born again, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. Well, what does that look like? Because an experience is something that happens. So what is happening that you're experiencing being a follower of Jesus Christ? What's the experience in your life of him? How is someone else going to experience him through your life? You know, and these things that we do, that we talk about, James and I, and even in, I believe God gave Bill W., Dr. Bob, these clear-cut directions. I mean, people will say they're suggestions, but the Bible's a suggestion, but I believe it's directions. No, but God doesn't force us to do them. But if we take the right heart set and mindset, then we will desire to do them, and they won't be suggestions anymore. It'll be for me. For me, it's the way. Like, why would I think of another? And when I'm not in the right way, I feel it. I speak it. I act it. And then I know that's my evidence. That's the fruit. I'm like, whoa, I'm in the wrong direction here. I just have to. And the beautiful thing is at any moment, we can turn our direction towards him. And he loves us. And just say, Father, you know, I'm sorry. I was listening to the wrong voice. I was listening to anger. I was listening to lust. I was listening to addiction, whatever it is, because all of that, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory. And we need to, and that's part of being born again, recognizing that, you know, that we all, because a lot of people say, well, I'm a good person. I believe I'm going to heaven. Yep. Yeah, but it's not that, you know. So Romans 12:9-14 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor, hate what is evil. I looked it up so I can read it to the listeners. Cling to what is good. Be, and I always, whenever I see be, it's to me, it's how I'm living. How am I living? What am I doing? What is my will like? Kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. This is the eighth step. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience, in tribulations, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing the needs of the saints, given to hospitality, love of strangers, housing, travelers, meeting the needs of fellow believers, also serve and witness to strangers. That's hospitality. You know, when we're opening up our hearts are our home, where the Holy Spirit dwells in us, right? So what, and you know, I have, when we do step nine fully, I have, when he's talking to the tax collector, and he invites him into his home, into his heart, and he turns his heart and he says, I want to pay people four times what I owe them. That's a ninth step, you know, and I want to share that with others too. So we bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse people. We just don't. So God never asks us to give what we don't have. This is the ending of 8:9. So he supplies our needs. He says, seek him first, the kingdom, right? And his righteousness, his way, his will, his supply. He can't give us his way, the supply we need in order to be able to do the will of the Father if we don't seek him first. And we can't seek something we can't see. So if you're not born again, we won't be able to see the kingdom. We won't be able to understand spiritual things because the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us and leads us and guides us. That's why we want to walk by the Spirit, walk in step with the Spirit. Okay, we must forgive first as God did to us. He gave us forgiveness. He gave us all the forgiveness we'll ever get. We don't need another person's, but he gave it to us, forgiving others. Get it? I love when he does that in my mind. He gave it to us so that we can forgive, give others. So, and it's really important. And that's the intro to step 9. And I'm going to say the 8-step prayer.
Okay.
And this all comes from 12-step workshops, groups, which is beautiful because God is the foundation. We say higher power, we say all these things, but it's the one true God. All these prayers, all these hidden treasured scriptures that aren't with the address, but I know where I can find them because I know him, are all rooted from the Word of God. So when God showed me how he wants his hand and the hand of AA or 12-step groups to be one, he wants to be revealed. Because a lot of people are following the wrong God. And he wants it to go back to the original plan, his original plan. It's the same thing, people distort the Bible, the wrong God, you know? So 8-step is, we say, I ask your help in making my list of all those I have harmed. So we can do this. Sometimes we need to do, and there's another thing that I have, a piece of literature, and it says this, and I highlighted it. It says, a good first course of action is to pray and meditate. Consulting with God will often enable us to find the strength and willingness to make amends. So this is another piece of literature from something totally different. But everything leads to God. Everything leads to go to him first, and he will send you. Sometimes he'll tell you out of the blue. He'll bring up a name to call someone or to do something, you know, take an action. He's always listening. He knows our heart. We just need to go to him. It says
don't just call and say what's going on, because then something will be, you know.
Yeah, amen.
But don't just call and just talk, because there'll be a lot of times they're like, well, that's weird, you called right now.
Yeah, yeah. So it also says, after we ask him to help us with our list of all the people we harm, it also says, I will take responsibility for my mistakes and be forgiving to others as you are forgiven to me. So we want to do what God does for us to others. He gives us so that we can give. Grant me the willingness to begin my restitution. This I pray. So we have the ministry of reconciliation. That's what the Bible tells us. So if you don't know who you are today or what your purpose is, what God's plan is, that's one of the things he tells us in the Word, that he gave us the ministry of reconciliation to bring people to him. So everybody listening today, no matter where you're at, who you are, if you're in the kingdom of God, if you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you have a ministry of reconciliation. Everything, all the people in your life, all the places you go, is an opportunity for you to bring people to him. That's what the Holy Spirit inside of you desires to do through you. But you have to give him permission. And once you do that, he'll make it easy. He makes it very easy. It's our minds that make it very difficult, because the enemy doesn't want us to, don't touch that person. Don't tell that person that. Mind your business. People just know who I am today. I'm like singing in the aisles of Walmart. I could care less anymore, because in the beginning, yeah, you look around, but you get so used to who you are in him, you just that's your lifestyle. It should be your lifestyle, you know. So let me see. So in 8-step, it said, made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And that was from, we went from hatred to brotherly love. So now we're growing God's character. We've been doing that, but now we get to actually walk this out. And in step nine, we go from self-will run riot, rebellion, to the virtue of discipline. Let my yes be yes and my no be no. We have to live like that. That's the way God's word, when he's, you know, all his promises are yes and amen, right? So when he says yes, it's yes. And if he doesn't answer, then it's yes. Like, that's not the way. I've had something go on in my life and I still haven't heard. I said, okay, God, so I'm believing it's no unless you tell me it's yes. And I haven't, I had dreams that this baby was crying and crying. And I kept thinking to myself, oh, I'm so glad I'm older and I don't have to deal with it. And then I actually took the baby, calmed it down, and handed it to the mother. You know, so I was like, okay, you know, I'm listening.
Anytime I had a dream.
Yeah, I had a dream, right? Because I'm inquiring about a certain decision I have to make, but I believe it's no unless he tells me something different.
Good.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and in step nine in the 12-step programs, it says made a direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or another person. So, I'm going to say this because this can be very dangerous for some people. You know, if you had an affair or if someone, you know, did something, you stole something, yield. God will give you a way to deal with all of it. But to go to somebody and said, you know, like, I had an affair with your husband and this person doesn't know, you're hurting not only that person, but kids. We don't want to run out like that. We want to sit with the Lord, rest in the Lord, share it with another person, you know, pray, and God will make a way. He'll show you the way. Okay? So we ended with Leviticus, and we're going to start with Leviticus 6, 1 through 7. The Lord said to Moses, if anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord by deceiving a neighbor about something entrusted to them or left in their care or about something stolen, or if they cheat their neighbor, or if they find lost property and lie about it, or if they swear falsely about any such sin that people may commit, when they sin in any of these ways and realize their guilt, they must return what they have stolen or taken by extortion, or what was entrusted to them, or the lost property they found, or whatever it was they swore falsely about. They must make restitution in full. And this is from the NIV, but it describes the ninth step so well. Add a fifth of the value to it and give it all to the owner on the day they present their guilt offering. And as a penalty, they must bring the priest, that is, to the Lord, their guilt offering, a ram from the flock, one without defect and of proper value. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them before the Lord. Jesus did it for us. Just saying. All right. But we still have to, there's an amends that we need to do with people. And they will be forgiven for any of the things they did that made them guilty. So that's a physical amends, you know, returning money. There's physical amends, living amends, anonymous amends. Sometimes we, you know, have to, maybe there's an amends we need to make and the person's no longer here in the flesh, and direct amends. So when we make amends, it's for stealing, cheating, making a gain for my own self when I want to exalt myself, selfish needs, self-centeredness. Not only do we return the amount, but we want to, it says we should add 20% on top, basically, of time. And we can do that in time, things, the word, money, however it is. We should be wanting to make restitution the way we took it from that person, back to that person, place, or thing. Because it is a person, place, or thing, right? So the ninth step, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Good judgment, a careful sense of timing, courage, and prudence, which is wisdom, discernment, forethought, meaning planning, care, peace of mind. These are the qualities we shall need when we take this step. So we don't rush out there. We yield to the Lord. And we should have, in 6 and 7, been transformed in the heart. We should be, at this point, desiring God's way, God's will, God's character to step before us. Love, patience, tolerance, right? So Jesus paid a tremendous cost for us, for our sins, his life. He did a blood sacrifice, a blood amends for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So think of amends as actions taken that demonstrate your new way of life in whatever it is, in your salvation, your sanctification, your new way of living in the kingdom of God, your recovery. If it was drugs and alcohol, how are you living today? If it was resentments, how are you living today, right? Whereas apologies are basically just words. I always tell my kids, even when they were younger, don't just say you're sorry. Be your sorry. Do your sorry. Show an action. Sorry is an action. When you make amends, you acknowledge and align your values to your actions by admitting wrongdoings and then living by your principles. So what kind of principles are we living by? Are they kingdom principles? Do we know God's principles? We should. By this point, because 6 and 7 teaches us how to stop living the old way and walk in the new identity, the spirit man walk. And you know, those 12-step programs gives us different principles for every step, you know, of faith, love, patience. And we should be acquiring that in who we are, and not only acquiring it. When I say acquiring it, because you know, we get everything once we are born again in our spirit. But our mind needs to learn that and be renewed and transformed to be able to speak to the flesh and yield, let the flesh yield so that the spirit can lead us in our walk. The spirit will lead the mind and the mind will lead the body. We had it all backwards, and Jesus came that we turn around because we were doing it wrong. We were doing it upside down. Actually, he turned us right side up. Praise the Lord. It feels like Jesus turned everything upside down, but what he did really do was turn it right side up for us. Hallelujah. So the by your principle, values, and character of God is making amends are, as God did for me, I do unto others. Did you want to say anything, James? You were looking in your word. What's going on?
Well, I was just thinking about when we... Yeah. The thought just came out. Because it says we put him to an open shame when we sin, you know, which is, I believe, before the enemy accusing us and, look at your people. But I'd made a statement in your group once, and I think it hit a few people. I said, you know, we don't think much of sinning, but if we were under the old covenant, which isn't as good, and we had to sacrifice one of our animals every time we sinned, we'd be stopping very quickly.
Amen. Yeah. We'd be more conscious.
Yeah, because we think more of them than the one we can't see.
And God doesn't want us to spend our life, if we're living following Jesus, that goes away, because we're not in fear of sin. We're not living that life. But if we're not, then God wants us to pay attention to that.
Many don't know what sin is, different sins.
Exactly.
Like unforgiveness. There's so many people
and
that kingdom love God
recovery,
and don't even realize that's
amen.
Their problem.
Kingdom recovery, when that was put on my heart, was for that reason, because we think these big things are sin, which they are, you know, but nobody thinks of the little things. Like,
yeah, this comes out of the little things. You know, it's not usually they're committing adultery or things
exactly.
like that. It's unforgiveness.
So, like, when I was in the... When I got sober, I still had the problem. Even though I put the solution down that was for me at the time, I still had a problem, and it was the sinful nature. And bringing that to the light is so important, because so many people don't realize lies don't come in, you know, a little white lie. There's no such thing. It's a lie. You know, we have to be aware of this. We have to put the light on in that area of our mind so that we can let the spirit lead us. the truth. Amen.
Yeah. And I should have said fear, envy, I was thinking.
Amen.
And there's so many little ones we don't pick up on.
Yeah. So I'm going to just say this. So as God did for me, I do unto others. As God did for us, we do unto others. We don't have enough time to keep going. So I just wanted to, just remind everybody, Pastor Tom will be here next week. So we'll continue 9. We just did the surface, just the beginning, so I can kind of review that. Pastor Tom will be here next week. And we're excited that everybody's listening. And if you have any questions and you'd like to share with us that you are listening, you can call me at 631-745-7980. And with that, I will pray. Father God, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for this time in your word, in this intimate time with you, Father, and teaching us, Holy Spirit, all the things that we need to know that we can have a peaceful, free, loving life with all the people around us, even though the world sometimes can be cuckoo crazy. We thank you that you can give us that place in our heart where we can rest in you and find the peace we need in the midst of the storm. And we thank you for that. We thank you for this, for whatever you taught us today, and we will meditate on it and apply it during the week. We love you. Shalom, shalom. Have a great week.
Amen.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Alzheimer's or dementia are terrible diseases affecting 7 million. Memory issues can be driven by the large number of medications that's in your take. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has a proprietary tool that identifies drug-to-drug interactions that cause cognitive impairment and then prescribes alternatives. In the study of the Alzheimer's Treatment Center's protocol, 75% of the patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. Now open in Port St. Lucie, they may be reached at ATC.AI or 772-298-4477. Give me Jesus.